Deve essere gratuito, non so se è un'idea
TK Archer. Very good. Anything else?
Is the service must be favorable and it should be pleasing?
Yeah, both have to be there. Both have to be there.
Yes. And Kurma Bhagavan said that Kurma Prabhu said that you should follow the recipe of the other devotees, those who have served Srila Prabhupada. Don't go about yourself.
Any other points? Okay. So tonight we'll start chapter 11. What is chapter 11 called?
The childhood pastimes of Krishna.
Yeah, the childhood pastimes of Krishna. So this chapter is more or less a glimpse into life in Vrindavan. There's not a lot of philosophy in this chapter. It's mainly the whole purpose of hearing the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. If we go back to chapter 1 of the 10th canto, in the first chapter, it explains the process of becoming purified. What is that process called?
Hearing
and chanting. Yeah, Vasudev Katar Ruchi. You have to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. So that is the goal, that you just want to hear about Krishna's pastimes. So here in this chapter, it is just, it's called the childhood pastimes of Krishna. It's Krishna in his Kaumara age. Krishna has three ages, Kaumara, Pauganda, and Kaishora. So Kaumara means when Krishna is below 5 years old. So in the Kaumara age, Kaumara means like young child. So Krishna is showing pastimes mainly in Vatsalya Ras. With his parents. So that's what you'll see in these chapters, and that's what we're about to see in this particular chapter. And then the second age of Krishna is called?
Pauganda.
What does Pauganda mean? When Krishna is between 5 years old and 10 years old. And then the main pastimes he has at that time is Sakya Ras with his friends. Yeah. So, and then from the age of 10 to 15 is called Kaishora. Kaishora means Krishna is a youth. So at that age, he mainly has Madhurya pastimes, pastimes with the gopis. These pastimes with gopis haven't started yet. We haven't heard about anything with the gopis yet. Because this is when Krishna gets a little older in his earthly Bhauma Leela. So here in this 11th chapter of the 10th canto, we're just hearing about Krishna's Kaumara Leela, when Krishna was very young. And we're just hearing about Krishna's pastimes with his parents and his friends in Vrindavan. It's very simple. There's not a lot of philosophy there, actually. But you have to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. That's the essence of the Bhagavatam. If you don't develop this Vasudev Katar Ruchi, you can't go back to the spiritual world. You have to be satisfied just to hear about Krishna. Even if there's not so much philosophy in the pastime, just to hear about Krishna, become attached, which means asakti. Asakti means you're attached to Krishna. That's the process. Okay. So we'll go from verses 1 to 30 of the chapter 11. Shukadev Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikshit, when the Yamal Arjun trees fell, all the cowherd men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound and fearing thunderbolts, went to the spot. There they saw the fallen Yamal Arjun trees on the ground, but they were bewildered because even though they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen, they could not trace out the cause for their having done so. Sharada Radha, you like to read them?
Considering all the circumstances, had this been done by Krishna, he was standing on the spot and his playmates described that this had been done by him. Had Krishna actually done this, or were these merely stories? This was a cause of development.
So what points are there?
Krishna surprises everybody. Body values are actually difficult to relate by mundane and plain.
Good.
I think it's really interesting that they were twins. Because if there was just one tree and it fell, the tree fell, but it's both trees at once. So the fact, like, everything is so perfect all the time where Krishna's concerned, even to those little things that you might not think about.
Welcome to Krishna's world. Everything is perfect. In the material world, everything is imperfect. But in the spiritual world, everything is perfect. Material world, imperfect. Spiritual world, perfect. Material world, so that is the difference. So this pastime is showing the rasa of astonishment. We see this again and again in these pastimes. When Krishna is killing the demons, it is a particular rasa. It's one of the seven minor rasas which comes. The stayi bhavs means the permanent rasas, the permanent mellows of Krishna having relationship with particular devotees who are in a particular permanent mood. Stayi means fixed. So like Vatsalya rasa or Sakya rasa, Madhuya rasa, that is fixed. These devotees always have this rasa. And then from that rasa comes Vibhava, then comes Anubhava, comes Vyabhichari bhava, different bhavas, they come. Different emotions, they come from this permanent ecstasy. Now, this particular, there's the five major rasas, and there's the seven minor rasas. So astonishment. When Krishna kills the demons, it causes astonishment. Everyone is bewildered. How can it be? How is it that Krishna can do this? How is it that he is unharmed? How is it that he can, after destroying this witch, then he's just sitting there playing on her chest? Or he flew off into the air on the back of the whirlwind demon, and then he crashed to the ground. He was safe. So it causes astonishment. Everyone's bewildered. How can this happen? Two huge trees just fell down. And then everyone's, how can he, he's still okay. He's just smiling and laughing and sitting between the two trees, still tied up to the grinding mortar. So everyone's astonished. How can this be? How can this happen? You know, so Krishna does this to cause astonishment. Just like in the, you know, like the Hollywood movies and the Bollywood movies, they have to have this rasa in the movie, astonishment. Something amazing happens. You know, things blow up and, you know, people walk out of fire and, you know, see all these things take place because people need this rasa of astonishment. It keeps them, their life interesting, because generally life is quite boring. Ends up if your life is boring. Okay, one person. And so if your life is exciting. One person, two people. How ends up your life is something in between. Something in between boring and exciting. Hands up if it's nothing.
Still nothing.
And so they just don't even put their hands up. So it means you've already merged into the impersonal Brahman. Okay, so everything is nothing.
It's stress for me.
It's what?
Stress for me.
Yeah, that was the first one, was it? I said hands over is just distress or... We'll start again. Too much iPhone.
Too much iPhone.
That's my stress.
Yeah. So, this is why Krishna does this. Because he makes it exact, because generally the material world is boring. Generally. It's not that exciting. This age we live in particularly is very boring. You know, there's not a lot of real... It's very monotonous. Life is generally monotonous. I mean, as a devotee, okay, we have excitement. because we have devotional activities, you know, we have Nisringa Chaturdasi and things to look forward to, swimming in the Ganges, and, you know, there's things to look forward to. But generally, for the materialists, it's, you know, that's why they have to do extreme things. People are addicted to extreme sports and extreme activities and like that, because that's why people take drugs and alcohol and all these, because they need something to liven it up. So Krishna in the spiritual world, he causes astonishment. He performs the pastime, he makes everything, you know, he makes big trees fall down. You know, and someone will say, why is Krishna doing that? Brinda, what are you doing? What is this act? What is this leela? You don't know what you're doing. You just sit down and do something. So we see that Krishna, you know, one would think in the spiritual world, everything should just be peaceful and just regular like that. But no, Krishna makes it the other way. He makes it very astonishing to increase the rasa, to increase the excitement, to make the devotees more attached to him, and to give them rasa, or give them taste, or give them pleasure. So he that's why he continuously makes everything exciting. So he's just brought these whole big trees down, the whole village is bewildered what's going on. So this is causing astonishment. So any points?
Text number 3.
Krishna was bound up by the rope to the ulukala, the mortar, which he was dragging. But how could he have pulled down the trees? Who had actually done it? Where was the source of this incident? Considering all these astounding things, the cowherd men were doubtful and bewildered. Leela Ma, you like to read this?
The cowherd men were very much agitated because the child Krishna, after all, had been standing between the two trees. And if by chance the trees had fallen upon him, he would have been smashed. But he was standing as he was, and still the things had happened. So what, who had done all this? How could these events have happened in such a wonderful way? These considerations were some of the reasons they were agitated and bewildered. They thought, however, that by chance Krishna had been saved by God, so that nothing had happened to him.
Mm. What are the points there?
The act of Ramayana.
Anything else? So, because the pastimes in Vrindavan are human-like, Prabhupada explains. So Krishna acts like a human being. He doesn't act like a demigod. He acts just like a cowherd boy. So his pastimes are quite human-like, quite normal. So when these things happen, the Brijbasis, they pray to God. They don't pray to Krishna. They say, Krishna, you are God, save us. Although when they're in trouble, they call out to Krishna. They know he's like a empowered personality. He may even be like a godlike person. And they're very attached to him, but they pray to God to protect him. So it's because it's like human-like pastimes. It keeps everything very sweet. Otherwise, the mood in Vaikuntha is quite different. In Vaikuntha, they directly address Lord Narayan as the Supreme Lord. But no one in Vrindavan directly addresses Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So it makes the pastime much sweeter. You know that sometimes, most of us, we get into situations, sometimes in our life, where people offer us a lot of respect. So as soon as people begin to offer you a lot of respect, then it brings down the mood of intimacy. Everything becomes reverential like that. So then you can't connect to the people around you as easily. So Krishna, he keeps in Vrindavan, he keeps the pastimes very familiar, very normal, so that everyone can just enjoy the association that they have with Krishna, instead of thinking he is the Supreme Lord. Because you see, with Lord Narayan, everyone is thinking he is the Supreme Lord, so there's not joking around. People don't joke with Lord Narayan. But with Krishna, everyone's always joking. So it's because of the intimacy which Krishna keeps within the pastimes. Any points?
Joking and loving. Joking and loving.
Both. That's what I meant to say. Joking and loving. Thank you. Thank you for the edit. That was good. That's good. Your contribution is valuable. Any other point?
I was today reading something, and in that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning Archana means on the process Navida Bhakti. Archana is one of the process of Sadhana Bhakti. But once one advances, that Archana, deity worship, is not so important. The main important is Shravanam and Kirtanam. When one goes up to Bhava, and he is mainly quoting, this is from Bhajan Narasa. He is mainly quoting, once a devotee becomes in bhajan, so real bhajan is Shravanam and Kirtanam. So these devotees we see in Vrindavan, they are more interested in talking about Krishna, and Krishna is the center rather than Archana or deity worship, where awe and reverence is there. So they don't have any awe and reverence in worship of Krishna. It's mainly by Shravanam and Kirtanam they worship Krishna. So Shravanam and Kirtanam is the main process for these devotees.
Although, just to extend a little bit what you're saying is correct, but just to extend it further, is that deity worship is just as important on that higher level, but it means that the mood in worshipping the deity becomes completely different. Just like I worship Giriraj. Right? So it's not that that will be rejected later, but the mood will deepen and it will be a different mood. So factually speaking, in Goloka, the deity is right in front of them. He is the deity. Like Prabhupada says, the children are the deity for the parents. The Mataji, when Prabhupada was on the planet, one of the Matajis was getting up for Mangalati and going and worshipping the deities. And Prabhupada said, no, you stay home. Your child is your deity. So the deity is there before the bridge buses directly. And the Shravanam and Kirtan, that is spontaneous at that point. They transcend Vaidhi in the mood of Ragatmika, which means their whole being is completely absorbed in spontaneous attraction to Krishna. Just so we understand this. Yeah. Because what you're saying is correct. Bhaktivinoda Thakur does say that. But then, so if devotees don't understand it fully, because then sometimes you hear classes and say, oh, that's like a lesser thing. It's not a lesser thing. It just means the mood changes. Same in the Shravan and Kirtan, the mood changes. Okay. Any points?
Okay.
What's that?
He's perfect.
Acha. Very perfect.
Yeah.
And too perfect. Then all the cowherd boys said, it is Krishna who has done this. When he was in between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar and the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. So this is the pastime of spontaneity. This is Vrindavan Leela, Braj Leela. Then the cowherd boys are saying that Krishna has pulled the trees down, which is quite incredible. And then two men came out of the trees. So you imagine your kids, they're running around the temple like Nisringa Jatadasi, and they run around the corner and they say, hey, two of the trees fell over and these two guys came out and like that. So imagine.
That's a beautiful guy.
What's that? Two beautiful guys came out, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of mistakes tonight. So two beautiful guys came out of the trees. Avoiding like that. So you imagine what you'd be thinking. Your kids start saying stuff like this. So they're like, but in Vrindavan and in Krishna's association, in Krishna's Leela, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Because Krishna's so extraordinary, they think, well, maybe it can happen. And actually, on one level, they do believe it happens. And on the absolute level, it does happen. So all these things, and this is why Krishna's pastimes are so full of ras, because there is sweetness and there is intimacy and there is a lack of awe and reverence, but at the same time, he throws in the most incredible occurrences within his pastimes, so it makes the whole thing come to life. So Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, ki. So a similar pastime will take place in the Govardhan Leela. So I told you about that, I think, already this year. But you know, all the demigods came down after the Govardhan Leela had finished, when Indra finally gave up. And then he stopped the rain. All the bridge buses came out. The cows came out. And then Krishna was by himself. And then Indra approached him with Surabhi. And then Krishna was approached by Indra, and Indra prayed for forgiveness. So then they did the Abhishek of Govinda Kund. So then all the demigods came, and Brahma came, and Shiva came, and all the demigods, and they did a big Abhishek, and they did Arati. Like that. So the same thing happened. Then all the demigods, they prayed to Krishna, and they begged for blessings, and Indra begged for forgiveness, and then everyone left on their bull. You know, and their swan and their elephant, everyone flew off into the air. So the cowboys came out from behind the trees, you know, all the demigods have gone, and they picked up all the arti trays and they started, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopala, Keshava Madhava, Dinadulalo, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopala. So they're doing all this worship of Krishna. And Krishna's just sitting there on the Vyasasan. And he's just accepting the worship, and he's just laughing and joking with everyone. And the boys are even sitting all with him. The demigods wouldn't come and sit on the Simasan with Krishna, but the boys are sitting there. The Krishna's just with the boys, and everyone's laughing and joking. And the demigods are up there, and they're all looking down, they're thinking, yeah. They're sitting on the Krishna, they're all laughing, they're all joking. We can't do like that, dude. You know, they get the realization how far away they are from God, from Krishna, and how close these people, these devotees, are to Krishna. They're family, it's intimate. So then the cowherd men turn up, and then there's, you know, there's huge lamps encrusted with jewels, and big chamaras and fans, and they're all laying all over the place. And they say, where did all this come from? And the boys said, yeah, it was far out. These guys, they came down on elephants and swans, and they had eyes on their body, and they had, you know, five eyes and five heads, and, you know, and one of them had four heads, and, you know, and they were all worshipping Krishna, and they're all chanting, and then they all got, and they all flew off into the air. You know, and the coward men are thinking, what's going on? You know, what are the boys speaking? Could be true, you know. So this is the whole of Vrindavan, that leelas are like this. It could be true, it is true. And they think, well, it could be true, but, you know, he just lifted Govardhan Hill, so, you know. But then, did he really lift Govardhan Hill? Or, you know, so it's all very, even when he's lifting Govardhan Hill, you know, so he's holding Giriraj on his little finger. You know, Krishna has that long nail on the little finger, you see, like Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, he has the long nail. Yeah, the Brahmin has had the long fingernail, little fingernail. I don't know why they do that, but it's something they do in the culture. Vrijabhasis keep it, yeah. So Krishna keeps it. So he's just got Giriraj fixed on this little, you know. And then Mother Yashoda says, the mountain is too heavy. And then Krishna says, it's not heavy. The Giriraj is like cotton wool. That's how it felt, like cotton wool. This is not heavy at all. And he said, watch. He said, Giriraj will turn around. Then the mountain will start going, like turning around. And all the bridge buses are like scared under there. So Krishna does all these things. So he's just done that. And then, you know, a few minutes later, they're saying, oh. So they're constantly like astonished and confused. Is he God? Is he not God? Is he Narayan? Is he not Narayan? Is he a great demigod? Who is he? Like that. It's just continuously. So he's just churning the rasa all the time. He just acts like he's a normal boy, but then he does all these things. So everyone's like, who is he, what is he. At the end of the day, they don't really care who he is. He's just our little boy. You know, we have to feed him. He's hungry. But at the same time, he does all this stuff. So he churns the rasa. That's what the pastimes are about. So, any points?
You said there was a country spontaneity. What does that mean?
Spontaneity means spontaneous. You know spontaneous?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so same thing. Any other points? Okay. Because of intense paternal affection, the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in the words of the boys. Some of the men, however, were in doubt. Since Krishna was predicted to equal Narayan, they thought it might be that he could have done it. That's contradictory. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, maybe he did do it. But maybe, you know, so it's Krishna just churning the rasa with them continuously.
But no man were there.
What's that?
No man was there.
No, Nanda Maharaj would have told them.
Only he was there.
And then he told them.
He couldn't have told them.
He couldn't have told them. Then how did they know? Because he told them. Because they're his brothers, Upananda and the other Sunanda. He has four brothers, Nanda Maharaj. So you tell your brothers.
Okay.
Like that. So then they would have told the village people. So everyone knows. Secret means not outside of Vrindavan. The bridge buses aren't going to tell anyone, but you know, like if I tell everyone in this room, I trust everyone in this room, right? Right. Except for probably Brinda, but everyone else I trust. Right. In this room, I trust everyone. So I would tell you secrets, and I know you're not going to tell anyone. Because you know then I will get a stick and then I will. So they trust everyone in the village. So they're not going to tell anyone in Mathura or anything. It's like they're all family, so. In a family, you can tell so many things. There are no secrets in the family. When Nanda Maharaj saw that his own son, when Nanda Maharaj saw his own son bound with ropes to the wooden mortar and dragging it, he smiled and released Krishna with his bonds. So, who tied up Krishna? Mother Yashoda. And who untied Krishna? So the question is, why didn't the cowherd boys untie Krishna? Because they were there and the trees fell down and everything. Why didn't they come over and untie Krishna?
They did not have the same amount of love.
Yeah, because they went in Vatsalya praying. Yeah. Vatsalya means they went in the mood of the parent. The parent tied up, that's called Vatsalya. They're in Sakyaras. So only someone in Vatsalya could untie. Because Mother Yashoda had tied the rope. Then only Nanda Maharaj could untie it. So it was not done by anyone else. The Nanda Maharaj had to come and do it.
Even in between, Lord Balaram came and he became angry seeing who tied Krishna. Was it? No, it wasn't.
Which one?
When Mother Yashoda ties Krishna. Balaram comes and he asks Krishna, who has tied you up? I'll kill him. He said, I'll destroy the whole universe for whoever has committed this. And as soon as Krishna says, Mother Yashoda did, then he just become quiet. And he told Krishna, why did you do such a mischief that Mother Yashoda had to tie you up? And then he goes to Mother Yashoda and tells Mother Yashoda, you don't realize who this is. He's Narayan. He's Vishnu is telling all these names of Krishna. And Mother Yashoda asked Balaram, who are you there? He said, I'm Shankarshana, I'm Lakshman. And Mother Yashoda takes a stick. Why do all the incarnation have to be in my house?
Where did you read that?
I heard it from Radha Govind.
Radha Govind was. Not in English, right? It's all in Hindi. Someone translating it all? Yeah, someone. Krishna book? That's not in Krishna book. Those details aren't in Krishna book. Yeah. It's not about these details. They're not talking. Yeah, the details are not extensive like that. Yeah, someone has to find someone, you know, Piskun Desire Tree, you've got so many devotees, all those chapas, someone's got to start transcribing all this stuff. Because it's all locked. The way we need to get it all released. So it is also, I've heard it told over the years, that Mother Yashoda was trying to tie Krishna. And it kept being 2 inches too short, 2 inches, so they kept bringing more rope, more rope, more rope. And I heard one time explained that finally Srimati Radharani came and she took the ribbon from her hair and she gave that to Mother Yashoda, and with that final, then Krishna agreed with that final ribbon to be tied. So the point is, the general point is that because Mother Yashoda had tied him, only Nanda Maharaj could untie. Because the mood was there. It's also described, it's not described here, but it's also mentioned, I've heard it explained, that after Nanda Maharaj untied, it says here that he's actually quite happy, Nanda Maharaj. But there's another pastime I've heard it explained, or this pastime explained, that Nanda Maharaj was actually quite upset with Mother Yashoda. And he said to her, why did you tie him up? And, you know, the trees nearly fell on him and so dangerous, you should not have done. And then Mother Yashoda came and Nanda Maharaj was holding Krishna. And she went to grab Krishna and Krishna just turns his head. And she comes on the other side and just turns his head. And he doesn't want, you know, because he's upset because she tied him. So Nanda Maharaj is also upset. So he's in, he says, I will take Krishna. So he takes Krishna inside. And then Mother Yashoda, she wants to see Krishna, but Krishna won't see her. So then she's cooking and she's sending prasad, and Krishna's saying, no, I don't want to eat anything that she cooks. Sorry. And then Nanda Maharaj, she's feeding Krishna, but not with what Mother Yashoda is. And then finally, Mother Rohini, she keeps bringing things. Mother Yashoda says, take this to Krishna, take this. And so Mother Rohini keeps bringing things, and Krishna says, no, I won't take it. And then finally, Mother Rohini says, if you don't take it, then I don't know what will happen to her, indicating that she might leave her body, her life airs will disappear. And when Krishna hears that, then he runs into the room, just grabs Mother Yashoda and starts crying. They're both crying. And she feeds him with her breast milk, and then she feeds Krishna some kheer and sweets. So different pastimes are told how it all takes place. Anything else?
Where did you get all these pastimes?
From the spiritual world.
That's nice.
Thank you. No, I've heard it over the years. Many, I heard my Guru Maharaj and other senior devotees tell these pastimes. I haven't been able to find them written. And Nanda Brindavan Champu says things, but it doesn't say these things or that thing. That's not there. So I'm not sure where these things are coming from. We need to, because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur doesn't say Nanda Brindavan Chandra, so I'm not sure where it's all coming from. But we need to find it. Someone can start transcribing Radha Govinda Maharaj's stuff. And we can,
that's it. I just have something in relation with that. For example, like by Mother Yashoda doing that, like going to the village and collecting all the rock available, she was kind of like performing Sankirtan, like engaging the whole village in service to Krishna. We cannot think like it wasn't really necessary to perform Sankirtan in that time. You know, everybody was so devoted to Krishna anyway. Like, but I see we can refer to that first time to kind of like see like how Mother Yashoda was setting an example for us as well.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Could it be that in a coward voice in untying him? Because of their respect to
Could be something like that. Okay. The gopis would say, "If you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat." By saying these words or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. So he is controlled by their love, their prema. So whatever the devotee wants from Krishna, then Krishna will respond, he'll reciprocate. Yaya tamam prapachyante tam satavi bhajamyaham. Krishna says that. As you surrender to me, I reward you. So whatever your mood is in devotion, because they have so much love for Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates according to that love. So because they want Krishna to dance, then Krishna dances. So whatever the reciprocate, because they want Krishna to be tied up, then Krishna allows to be tied up. So all these things are reciprocation. So if we reciprocate with Krishna properly, he will reciprocate with us. So when we develop the mood of love for Krishna, then Krishna will allow himself to be controlled by the love of the devotee. Sometimes Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, "Bring this article or bring that article." Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there, just to invite the pleasure of his relatives. He would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength, just like Jai Krishna. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajbasis by his childhood activities. So Krishna actually desires to be subservient. What is the basis of all the mellows? It is service to Krishna, dasya ras. We want to be Krishna's servant. But Krishna also enjoys serving his devotees. That is his desire. Our desire is to serve him, but his desire is to serve us. Right? And actually, he's the better servant, because we desire to serve Krishna, and Krishna is doing so much service for all of us. He's looking after all of us. He maintains all of us. Therefore, he's serving you continuously, all the time, at every moment. So he always serves more than what we can serve him. If you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. So he is more enthusiastic to serve and reciprocate than we are. So when the devotee wants Krishna to do a particular thing, Krishna, he wants to submit. He wants to serve. He wants to increase their pleasure, their rasa. He wants to fulfill their desire. That's why you have to be very careful what you desire. Because if you want material things, that's easy for Krishna to give. We see over the years, I've seen since I've been here in this temple, that devotees have come and gone, and sometimes they want material things and Krishna gives it to them. I knew when I joined, there was one devotee, he was a grihasta, I was brahmachari, but he was a grihasta, but he was very staunch. He used to get up every morning, like 3 o'clock, and he'd be chanting. By 6 o'clock, all his rounds were finished. And then he would read for 1 hour every morning. But in his heart, there was a desire to become rich. And then he left. He went off, stopped chanting, stopped doing that, and he became rich. I saw it. Became like a very wealthy person, but he didn't have Krishna. So if you want these things, Krishna can easily give those things to you. That's easy. But to get him, that is sadulabha. Sadulabha means that is rare. He won't give himself to anyone. Once a woman selling fruit was calling, "O inhabitants of Brajabhumi, if you want to purchase some fruits, come here." Upon hearing this, Krishna immediately took some grains and went to Bata as if he needed some fruits. So in the Sanskrit, what is the name which is given to Krishna? Which word is used by Shukadeva Goswami? Achyuta. What does that mean?
Infallible.
Yeah. So it's interesting because these names are not random. Whenever the devotees use a particular name in the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, it's not just a random name. They don't just say, hey, Govinda, hey, Madhava, hey. No, there's always a significance to why. So where in the Bhagavad Gita is this name? Yeah, oh, infallible one. Yeah, in which chapter? Right, in the first chapter. Senayor, Ubayor, Maje, Ratam, Stapaya, Mechuta. So he says, Achyuta, draw my chariot between the two armies so I can see who is here and who I must fight with in this great trial of arms. So he orders Krishna, hey, Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. Means he knows that Krishna will do what he asks. He knows Krishna will drive the chariot. Because Krishna is infallible. He never fails his devotee. He says, oh, Achyuta, take the chariot. Take the chariot. So basically he's ordering Krishna. Krishna is the chariot driver. Normally, right, if Krishna got on the chariot, what would you do? What would you do if Krishna got on the chariot? You drive the chariot. And you pick up the reins and drive the chariot. Or if your guru gets in the car, what do you do? You drive the car. Can you imagine your guru driving you around? You can't imagine that. So Arjuna, he orders Krishna, you drive. Take the chariot, drive the chariot. I want to see who's here. So he knows that Krishna is infallible. He knows he will do it. That's how close the relationship is between Krishna and the devotee. Even the devotee may order Krishna. He knows that Krishna will do it because that's how intimate the relationship becomes. So here, Krishna is called Achyuta. Because who came out of the house? Achyuta. The infallible one. Because he reciprocates with the devotee. So the devotee comes. And what does the devotee bring? The Polinda women, what do they bring? Fruits from the forest. So they come. And they do this all the time. They go into the forest. They like Aboriginal women, Polinda women. So they go into the forest, they get the fruits, and then they bring it. And then the people in the village have grains. So then they swap the grains for the fruits, and they go and cook their grains. So Krishna, he's seen this happen, and then he comes running out. You know, he's got a handful of grains, he's the little child, dropping the grains all over the place, and he gives. There's a reciprocation there between Krishna and the devotee. And because the devotee just gives the fruit with love, then Krishna gives unlimited reciprocation. Yeah, that's just about to happen. Okay, while Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels and gold. So what is it that Krishna wanted? Yeah, Krishna wants bhakti. What is he saying in the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada says in the purport, Patram, Pushpam, Phalam, Toyam. So when Krishna says it, he's just saying one thing. He says, give me one flower. give me one piece of fruit. Give me one leaf, that's a tulsi leaf. Give me one glass of water. But if you do it with bhakti, then I will relish it. Ashnami, Krishna says, I will relish that. You will take that enthusiastically. So if you give something with love, then Krishna will accept it. He will relish the offering. And then he will reciprocate with you. And what is the reciprocation which he gives to the fruit wala? He gives prema. He gives love. He captivates. It enters the heart. And they develop love for Krishna. He reciprocates so much. He captivates the person. Yeah. He shows his all-attractive nature. And he steals their heart. And then they become completely absorbed in him. So much so they can't think of anyone else but... What do you think of all day? What do you think of? You have to think about this. You have to analyze yourself. What do you think of all day? You've all been practicing Krishna consciousness for a long time now. But what do you think of all day? Do you think of Krishna? Then what are you thinking about? You come here to the temple all the time. Yeah, you go upstairs with your paper plates and eat the prasadam all the time. But what are you thinking about? You're here all the time. You're doing it all the time. You come for all the festivals. You know, you do all the rituals. But are you thinking of Krishna? That's the point. And if you keep coming here year after year after year after year, and if you keep chanting 16 rounds every day, year after year after year, and if you keep coming to this course year after year after year, and you keep taking prasadam and worshipping deities and doing these things, but if you're not thinking of Krishna, if you're not becoming captivated by Krishna in your heart and your mind, then what are you doing? This is the whole goal of the process. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That's the whole process. What did Prabhupada come here for? Prabhupada came. Why did Prabhupada work so hard to establish all of these things? If you're not becoming Krishna conscious. And devotees just shake their head and they say, oh, when will I ever do it? Do it now. What are you waiting for? There's nothing stopping you. We already said that yesterday. Chaitanya Charitamrita says nothing material can stop Krishna consciousness. It's like I was at one devotee's house before, and the devotee was saying, you know, but we chant every day, but it's very mechanical. I said, so why are you chanting mechanically? We're just going to keep chanting mechanically for another 20 years? No, develop some taste for the chanting. Develop some attachment to the chanting. Nama ruchi, Lord Chaitanya says. Ruchi means some taste for the chanting. That's the system. So this should be coming. There's the goal. That's why we're doing all these things. If it's not coming, not that it's fully there, but if it's not gradually awakening and developing, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, you're wasting your time. Okay. Yep.
So he said, like, if we see, oh, it's a process, then it becomes quite mechanical. But I was just listening to Mahatma Prabhu the other day in one of the seminars about the chanting, the holy name, and he said, like, we need to think that it's a relationship. That when we start chanting, we need to think that Krishna is there. And then we go into that meeting, try to be in the meeting on time, you know, that when we know that Krishna likes to be there, you know, like, especially in the morning. So that's the other way, it's like going and you go and meet that person, like, oh, God, again, you know, and you don't even want to talk to me, you know, you're saying the name, but you don't even listening or paying attention. So that is kind of like, it's like we should learn how to see it in that way. It's a relationship, it's no mechanical process.
Once after the uprooting of the Yamal Arjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Rama and Krishna, who had both gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Because of being too attached to playing with the other boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return upon being called by Rohini. Therefore, Rohini sent Mother Yashoda to call them back, because Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram, being attached to their play, were playing with the other boys, although it was very late. Therefore, Mother Yashoda called them back for lunch. Because of her ecstatic love and affection for Krishna and Balaram, milk flowed from her breasts. Mother Yashoda said, "My dear son Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play any more. My dear Baladev, best of our family, please come immediately with your younger brother Krishna. You both ate in the morning and now you ought to be eating something more. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, is now waiting to eat. Oh, my dear son Balaram, he is waiting for you, therefore. Come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes." So this is pure Vatsalya Bhav. Vatsalya Bhav means the mood of being a parent. So Mother Yashoda is just absorbed in all this rasa. And Krishna is reciprocating with her. He doesn't come when she asks. If he just came when she asks, then there would not be so much rasa. So he just ignores, he keeps playing. And then she has to try so many things to get him to come. And Nanda Maharaj will not eat until Krishna and Balaram are there. And then when Nanda Maharaj eats, he takes the first morsel of food and he puts it in the mouth of Lord Balaram. And he takes the second morsel and he puts it in the mouth of Krishna. And then everyone starts to eat. That is the system. So just like at your house, you have to put the first morsel in the mouth of Krishna. You have to offer it to the deity, then you take prasad. That is the system. Same in Goloka Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda further told Krishna, "My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath and cleanse yourself. Today the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows and charity to the brahmanas." What is the star which is there at Krishna's birth?
Rohini.
Rohini. So that particular star, which constellation is it in? Taurus. There are three stars in Taurus. The middle star is called Rohini. It's very auspicious. When the moon is near that star, it is very auspicious. That's when Krishna was born. The moon was near that star. Okay. So, in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, "Sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up." This is from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse number 5. So, Krishna says in the 18th chapter that sacrifice, charity, and austerity purify even the great souls. Even someone like Prabhupada becomes even more purified by performing jagya, sacrifices, by giving charity, and by performing austerities. So even a pure devotee becomes even more pure. So Krishna says, never give these things up. Always do austerities. Always perform sacrifices and always give charity. Even when you're a pure devotee. And what is the best charity? Gulab jamuns. That is the best. Everything else is secondary. Don't worry. Just see, if you don't know how to cook it, it doesn't matter. Just see how all your playmates of your own age have been cleansed and decorated with beautiful ornaments by their mothers. You should come here, and after you have taken your bath, eaten your lunch, and being decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, because of intense love and affection, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's mother, considered Krishna, who was at the peak of all opulences, to be her own son. Thus she took Krishna by the hand, along with Balaram, and brought them home, where she performed her duties by fully bathing them, dressing them, and feeding them. So Prabhupada points out in the purport, Krishna is already clean and he's already neat. Because he's Krishna, he's never. But Mother Yashoda, out of love, she dresses him, she bathes him, she decorates him, does all these services. Just like the deity. The deity is always clean, but still we have to bathe the deity, dress the deity, decorate the deity, all these things have to be done. But actually, not necessary. Krishna's already perfect. He's perfect all the time. And Mother Yashoda does these things out of love. Like in the third canto of the Bhagavad Gita, it says the spiritual world is all clean, but everyone's still walking around cleaning all the time. There's nothing to clean because it's already clean. But they're just doing that because it's the mood. Let's make it nice for Krishna. So Mother Yashoda is doing it just to make it nice for Krishna. But actually, he doesn't need it. But he just does that because he wants to reciprocate. Just like, you know, the mother, she likes to come. You know, I saw when Krishna Gitar, I think it was, or Bhagavad Gitar, when they got married, then Leela Gitar came and she was fiddling with everything. You know, like that. And actually, they looked fine. Everything was okay, but, you know, just the mother wants to do that. She wants to come and move the turban and, like, you know, change everything. The turban was fine. Yeah. But the mother just wants to do it. That's her mood. So, you know, their sons are standing there just going, okay, letting the mother do it. There's no need for it.
And the son goes,
yeah. 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 Not necessary. It's just reciprocation. Like that. So this is the mood of Mother Yashoda. She wants to make Krishna all nice and everything. So Krishna is reciprocating with her.
Because I didn't want Yashoda to know that his personality or
Yeah, it's true. Vrindavan is mysterious. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, then one time, having seen the great disturbances in Brihadvan, all the elderly persons among the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, assembled and began to consider what to do to stop the continuous disturbing situations in Braj. At this meeting of all the inhabitants of Gokul, a cowherd man named Upananda, who was the most mature in age and knowledge, and was very experienced according to time, circumstances, and country, made this suggestion for the benefit of Ram and Krishna. So he says, let's go to Vrindavan. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna is inspiring him in his heart, because Krishna wants to go to Vrindavan. Because there's 12 forests in Vrindavan. What are the names of the 12 forests? Madhavan, Talavan, Vrindavan, Mahavan, I can't remember. Bahulavan, yeah. I used to remember the 12, but I can't remember now. So, Nidivan, that's not one of the 12. That's a sub forest. Yeah, the 12 forests, and they have 12 more forests inside each 12. So, Vrindavan, which is the biggest one, that's Krishna's favorite one. That goes from Jamuna to Nandagram. So that whole area where Govardhan Hill is, all the way back to where Krishna Balaram Temple is, the Jamuna, all the way up to Nandagram, that whole area, that's called Vrindavan. That's Krishna's favorite. So Krishna, he wants to move there. So he's inspiring Upananda to say, let's go to Vrindavan, because that's where he wants to go. Because that's where he's going to perform his most intimate pastimes. That's where all the pastimes of the gopis take place. So he's getting ready for that. So he's organizing for the whole village to move to Vrindavan.
Upananda is his elder brother.
Yeah, he's the oldest brother.
So he's the one who was to be king, but he gave to Nanda.
Yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to be the king, but Nanda Maharaj said, you be the king. He said, my dear friends, the cowherd men, in order to do good to this place, Gokul, we should leave it, because so many disturbances are always occurring here, just for the purpose of killing Rama and Krishna. The child Krishna, simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was somehow or other rescued from the hands of the Rakshasi Putana, who was determined to kill him. Then again, by the mercy of the Supreme Godhead, the handcart missed falling upon the child. Then again, the demon Trinavarta, in the form of a whirlwind, took the child away into the dangerous sky to kill him. But the demon fell down onto a slab of stone In that case also, by the mercy of Lord Vishnu or his associates, the child was saved. Even the other day, neither Krishna nor any of his playmates died from the falling of the two trees, although the children were near the trees or even between them. This also is to be considered the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these incidents are being caused by some unknown demon. Because before he comes here to create another disturbance, it is our duty to go somewhere else with the boys until there are no more disturbances. Between Nandeshwara and Mahavan is a place named Vrindavan. This place is very suitable because it is lush with grass, plants and creepers for the cows and other animals. It has nice gardens and tall mountains and is full of facilities for the happiness of all the gopis and gopis and our animals. Therefore, let us immediately go today. There is no need to wait any further. If you agree to my proposal, let us prepare all the bullock carts and put the cows in front of us and let us go there. Upon hearing this advice from Upananda, the cowherd men unanimously agreed. Very nice, they said. Very nice. Thus they sorted out their household affairs, placed their clothing and other paraphernalia on the carts, and immediately started for Vrindavan. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, Ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham, Ki.